WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Republicans have nominated Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana to be Speaker of the House, the fourth candidate for the job in just 2 weeks, says CBS's Nicole Killian on Capitol Hill.
Johnson was elected after House Republican Whip Tom Emmer couldn't secure enough support. Emmer was Speaker designate for about 4 hours before he withdrew from the race. Former President Trump called Emmer a rhino and said he would be a tragic mistake.
There could be a vote on Johnson's nomination as soon as this morning. It's not clear he has the 217 Republican votes to get the job.
Here it comes. Cave, a fly ball to right field. Over is Carroll. He's got it. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are headed to the World Series.
The call from TBS Sports. In fact, the Diamondbacks are going to the World Series for the first time in 22 years. They stunned the Philadelphia Phillies 4-2 in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series last night. Arizona will play the Texas Rangers for the world title. Game 1 set for Friday night. Israel appears to be getting closer to a ground invasion of Gaza, says CBS's Holly Williams.
The Israeli military says that they've already launched limited raids into Gaza to kill militants. But obviously something much bigger is expected, especially if you look at troops massed near the border with the Gaza Strip.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby acknowledges an invasion would cause collateral damage.
This is war. It is combat. It is bloody. It is ugly. And it's going to be messy. And innocent civilians are going to be hurt.
Hurricane Otis is now a catastrophic Category 5 storm and has made landfall near Acapulco. It could drop as much as 5 to 10 inches of rain on Guerrero State, with as much as 15 inches possible in some areas. Another strike in progress.
The St. Lawrence Seaway, a crucial marine shipping route that links the Great Lakes to the Atlantic Ocean, has been shut down after nearly 400 union workers went on strike. They want better pay to keep up with the rising cost of living.
If it wasn't for the St. Lawrence Seaway, the Lakes region and the rest of the world would not be connected the way they are with the seaway there.
Aaron Benziger is with Chicago-based Central Marine Logistics.
CBS's Jim Krasula. NHL players are going to be allowed to use pride tape this season. The league and the players' union agreed to give players the option to represent societal causes with stick tape during warm-ups, practices, and at games. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to pay for upkeep at American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee for an extra 20 years took another step Wednesday. A state Senate committee took testimony on a bill that spends $546 million in public money. The deal passed the assembly last week. Republican Dewey Strobel chairs the committee. He hopes to have enough votes to pass it in time for the Senate to pass it in November. Another school in the Universities of Wisconsin system is cutting jobs. The UW-Platteville campus announced Tuesday they will eliminate over 100 positions on the campus. The school is facing an over $9 million structural deficit. About 60 people are going to be laid off, while officials plan to cut 31 open positions on the campus. The campus joins UW-Oshkosh in laying off workers amid budget cuts. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks are back tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the season opener. The Bucks host the Philadelphia 76ers tonight at Fiserv Forum, downtown Milwaukee. Tip-off time at 6:30. Philadelphia will be without James Harden. Although he rejoined the team yesterday, he did not make the trip to Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers injury list getting long. Matt LaFleur.
So Aaron Jones, Josh Myers, Luke Musgrave, Darnell Savage, and Eric Stokes did not practice. Then limited were Jair Alexander, Drake Campbell, Elton Jenkins, Yosh, and Devontae Wyatt.
The Packers host the Vikings on Sunday. College football, the Badgers have their hands full Saturday night when they host Ohio State at Camp Randall, kickoff at 6:30. Why is Ohio State ranked number 3rd in the nation? Luke Fickell.
You see the complete team be able to play together, offense, defense, and special teams, regardless of if they got a first-round draft pick quarterback right now and they're scoring 55 points a game. It's ultimately about winning. You can see it whether it's you watch the offense with the defense or even the special teams.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers and thundershowers today. Our high right around 62 this afternoon. Scattered rain tonight, 45. We could get a quarter to a half inch of rain by the time it all winds down late tonight. Tomorrow, a few sprinkles in the morning, gradual clearing, becoming colder with temps in the 30s by afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Back now on a Thursday, October 26th. Nice to have you along on Up North News Radio. Split edition as our friend Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us from New York City. We're playing the role of tourist. She also has her hometown health segment coming up at the bottom of the hour. And her guest is a fellow obstetrician gynecologist talking about the challenge of attracting physicians, medical students, and other providers to South Dakota, a state that, like Wisconsin, is seeing its rural health care challenges made worse by politicians getting between rural residents and their doctors. And so we'll talk to Dr. Amy Kelly, another one of those folks who probably, like you, just thought you were going to be a good little country doctor, but you can't stay silent in the face of so much political interference.
No, I mean, we went into medicine to take care of our patients. And when politicians get in between us and our patients and prevent our patients from getting the care that they need and deserve for completely political reasons, it's time for us to stand up and use our voices and tell our stories. So that's what Dr. Kelly is going to do this morning.
And we talked a bit about that in terms of the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. So if you missed our last hour, you can catch shows anytime. Head over to civicmedia.us, where you can listen back to past shows, try out some new shows, see a map of stations around the area to find out where you can hear shows online or on demand or on the air. And our phone number here is 844-967-2789 if you'd like to join in at some point here. Kristen is playing tourist now, but she's going to be back home in Green Bay in time for the Packer-Vikings game, I would assume.
Yes, I love that game.
Mm-hmm. What is it? Because I've been to two games at Lambeau, and neither one was a Vikings game. I don't think either one was even a division game. So I can only imagine what it's like to be in the neighborhood there when all the Vikings fans come down 29.
There, it's definitely a rivalry. You know, like when the other teams come, there's a lot of fun. When the Vikings come, it's serious. Like they come for business. Mm-hmm. So it's less fun, but it's always a game, and it's going to be a game this weekend, that's for sure.
It's always funny that Vikings fans come down, and they are, you know, to them, the Packers are their big rival. And mm-hmm. It's sometimes news to them to realize most Packer fans don't think of the Vikings as their main rival. It's the Bears.
Yes.
Although I suppose not lately, because the Bears have been so bad for so long. But historically, that's the way that it works.
Well, Pat, the yes. Bears still suck.
Still suck. And
somebody had to say it.
Feeling we'll be playing that song again before much longer. One of my favorite things that used to happen on Packer-Viking weekends was the... you call it a cliche if you want, but the obligatory coverage of a little roadside bar on Highway 29 somewhere around the Chippewa-Dunn County line. And it was called the Halfway Bar, if memory serves. And half of it was painted green and gold, you know, the east side of it. And the west side of it was painted in purple, in Vikings colors. And it was, I mean, you talk about it, what a great business plan is to cater to all these Viking fans who are coming down 29, all these Packer fans who are in the area. It had to be torn down when they expanded 29 to four lanes. Frankly, I'm quite surprised nobody else has picked up on that and tried to grab the market that way, because it's easy. It's easy pickings.
This could be your retirement gig. You could set up residence. This is what you want to do, right? You want a place where you can just hang out and people come to you. That could be it. I'm envisioning, I've got your retirement plan in my head.
Yeah,
it's coming together.
Especially, it would involve a bar. I'd be talking all the time. I go borrow that t-shirt from Game of Thrones that says, I drink and I know things. And I just wear that.
And we borrow it. Come on. People give you that t-shirt for Christmas every year.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, yesterday we had on a guest, a great guest, Wendy Harris, at the center of the new technology hub designation for Wisconsin, and talking about biohealth and personalized medicine. And as I was listening back to the interview yesterday, I came up with a rather crude analogy, but it's like you have to explain this to people. What does personalized medicine mean? And I used, you could use chicken soup or orange juice in this. So medicine has been, if you've got a cold, you know, drink orange juice or, you know, have chicken soup. Personalized medicine is knowing that you should have 8 ounces of chicken soup and you should have 6 ounces of chicken soup and 4 ounces of orange juice because of the examination of your genetics, your past history, other markers. And that, you know, for all the talk about the darker sides of genetics, this is one of those things that is in fact going to be very beneficial down the road.
We are on the precipice of some incredible changes in medicine, personalized medicine, artificial intelligence. There are so many different things that are coming down the road that are really going to change that image that so many of us have of, like, this, you know, you said earlier, country doc just trying to take care of patients. All of those fundamental things are going to be that foundation, but the way that we seek and receive our care will be very different in the years to come. And how exciting is it that Wisconsin was chosen to be a place to help develop this new technology and bring it to market?
Right. And to say again, as I did yesterday, that this isn't just about the research. This isn't just, oh, a bunch of people that, you know, make six figures and wear white lab coats. No, it's going to be building the labs. It's going to be the distribution. It's going to be precision manufacturing that's going to be done here. So there's just so much potential, which is weird in the way that we're doing the research and maybe the manufacturing, and yet the healthcare itself is getting this political interference. And so it just makes it that much more important to elect good leaders.
It does.
I want to have one more health note before we get to weather. And that is a lawsuit that was brought about by the family of a college student. She had a heart condition. She went to a Panera Bread and she drank what's called their charged lemonade. And they're, you know, the family is charging that Panera Bread was misleading in how they described it, because a large size has more caffeine than a 12-ounce Red Bull and a 16-ounce Monster Energy drink combined. And so I just wanted to throw that at you to talk about, you know, again, our teens, they love caffeine. They love their energy drinks and everything. But, you know, they're not entirely harmless and should be monitored.
Caffeine is a drug. Mm-hmm. I mean, those of us who drink coffee in the morning know that caffeine is that drug that helps us get up every morning, and it's a socially acceptable drug. But, you know, like anything else, in large quantities, it can be dangerous. Everything in moderation. This is concerning.
It should be. I mean, that is the large 30-ounce drink has nearly 390 milligrams of caffeine. That's like 4 or 5 cups of coffee. And I feel like the whole, because energy it sells so easily. Look at the Red Bull commercials, you know, we're all the time selling energy. It's like, yeah, but to a point, you know, and if it's not clearly labeled, and it's not, nobody knows the amount of milligrams of caffeine that are in something. And so this really is a reason why you would want, when people talk about, oh, regulations and red tape. No, this is a regulation you'd want.
would be clear labels of what's in the things that you are consuming, whether it's caffeine in a beverage or the mystery ingredients when somebody is vaping. I'm sure that makes you crazy when your patients say, oh, I'm vaping, it's safe.
Yeah. Often they don't admit to it, but it's, you know, we put a lot of things in our bodies that we don't know what they are, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, artificial flavorings or other ingredients and fillers. It's really hard to eat healthy. And that's all contributing to some of the major health issues that we're dealing with, like obesity and heart disease and, you know, lots of other problems. So Pat, I couldn't agree more with you. I think we need labeling so that we know what we're consuming and how much of it we're consuming.
Yeah. It really is just about transparency. And look, this is not to become a Debbie Downer segment. It's to say that, look, until things are more clearly labeled, then we are, you know, going to have to remind people to monitor the things that they put into their bodies. Be upfront with your doctor about that as well, so that, you know, good decisions can be made about your future health care. At 7:15, let's turn our attention to the weather now, which isn't it's still a little, shall we say, moist out there. It's the misty, foggy, little bit of rain. Cool down is still on the way. Let's go to Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology, and she's got the details of our Thursday forecast. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. And yeah, like you said, it's some areas of fog through much of the state here for today. Looks like a chance for showers and storms for all today as well. For most, temperatures actually holding fairly steady where they're currently at, of around about the mid-60s. A little warmer around Richland Center today in the upper 60s. From Oshkosh to central Wisconsin, though, morning temperatures are a little bit cooler, so expecting to see a little bit of a warm-up today getting into the low to mid-60s. Friday, another chance for rain for everyone. We'll see a cold front coming in during the daytime hours, so temperatures actually climb early Friday morning, mostly in the 60s, around 50 for west central Wisconsin, then slowly fall throughout the day as that system pushes through. For the weekend, really cooling down for all, getting below average. Cloudy skies developing across the board on Saturday, dry around Waukesha, Milwaukee, and Oshkosh until the evening hours, then a slight chance for some rain there. Then a slight chance for some rain in the afternoon around Madison and Richland Center, a slight chance for rain in snow mixing around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids, then a chance for some snow just around Amory and Baldwin. Temperature-wise, looks like mid-40s to around 50 from Oshkosh and everyone southward, mid-30s to around 40 for central and west-central Wisconsin Saturday. Sunday, dry and around Amory and Baldwin, a chance for rain from Wisconsin Rapids southward, and a slight chance for some snow around Wausau, mid to low 40s, from Oshkosh southward, and mid to upper 30s for central and west-central Wisconsin.
Oh, it's official. I've never heard rain and snow so much in your forecast so far as I have today. I remember seeing that big blue blob of like light snow sitting over Montana, Idaho, and thinking it's on the horizon. We're going to get those first snowflakes, and they're really not that far away now, are they?
They're really not. Yeah.
All right, Jennifer. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks to you.
All right. Back now with Kristen here for just a quick check on sports. You know, because Mason Crosby was not. You know, he didn't retire. The Packers mm-hmm. just kind of cut him loose, and he's getting a workout with the LA Rams, so we might be seeing Mason Crosby back on the field someplace.
Yeah, like Lambeau Field in 2 weeks.
Oh, do they play the Rams in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, well, now we have drama. Okay, well, now we'll see how that workout goes. Craig Counsell becomes a free agent next week. The Brewers manager received permission to interview with the New York Mets. He may go there. He may stay here. He's testing the market, probably get double the $3.5 million salary that he gets now. And the Bucks open up their season tonight at home against the Philadelphia 76ers, 6:30 games on TNT. And the Badger men's hockey team, ranked number 14, first time in the top 20 in a couple of years. And they are in the Twin Cities. They'll open up Big Ten play tonight and then again tomorrow against the Golden Gophers.
Border battle.
All right. I'm going to talk a bit about the Farm Bill coming up after this break, and then Kristen has hometown health for us as well. Wherever you're listening on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, and we'll be right back. All righty.
All right, I won't be a distraction for you. What time do you want me to come back?
Instead of starting at 33, the break now starts at 34. It still starts at 29, so, you know, come on back anytime. You can come back sooner than that. I'll be moving on to other topics, and if I'm if I'm in the middle of something, I'll click you in. Otherwise, I'll click you in during the next break.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye.
We're going to talk about farmers and the need for leadership from Congress coming up in just a bit. First, tell you that tomorrow on the program, a couple of our Friday regulars, Mark Jacob, will talk about media coverage of this week's big events, including the election of a new House Speaker. Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom national correspondent, will join us as well to talk about some of the big stories of the week. Dan Schumacher will be off again this week, so once again, we are fortunate to have Jimmy Koska coming in from Civic Media to talk about the now second round of the state high school football playoffs that will be getting underway this weekend. So look for all of that on the program tomorrow or on demand if you're listening to us as a podcast. Over on the social media channels of Up North News, no shortage of stories there. We talked about the Black River being at flood stage because of so much rain that fell. And so we've got some video of that that we'll share. Although I will say there's also been on some of the TV stations, drone video is just like everywhere now. TV stations are in such a better position. Remember when TV stations, you know, only the big ones that could afford helicopters could get, you know, the kind of video that now any TV station and anybody can get with a drone, you know, provided that they're operating it safely. Over at the Milwaukee County Zoo, we're getting close to Halloween. Elephants are smashing pumpkins. Who doesn't like that video? You'll see that in one of the social media posts. Something about National Library Month and some of the libraries you might want to see around Wisconsin. And a note that the Badger women's volleyball game at Nebraska, although the Badgers lost, there was one victory there for college volleyball overall. 612,000 viewers of that match on the Big Ten Network, the most watched regular season volleyball match across any network ever. And again, that is that's saying a lot about the Badger women, Nebraska too, but what the Badger women are bringing in terms of appeal to spectators. So again, on social media, find us at UpNorthNewsWI. Don't forget the WI and see what we're posting all throughout the day. My new story on our website, UpNorthNewsWI.com, is all about the Farm Bill and Derek Van Orden's silence on the Farm Bill, even as some Republicans are looking to cut tens of billions of dollars. And why pick on Derek Van Orden for this? Well, two reasons. It was one, but now it's two. Reason number one is he's on the House Ag Committee. Wisconsin hasn't had somebody on the House Agriculture Committee in some time. It's an assignment many members want and covet. For Republican leadership to give Derek Van Orden a seat on the Ag Committee was a way of giving him some extra recognition, maybe some extra credibility, and, you know, allow him to have a voice on behalf of Wisconsin farmers in the Midwest. But he hasn't done much with it. He's had a listening session here or there, again, for the TV cameras. He really has mastered the photo op. He gets how cameras work. He's in Israel right now. That's the other reason he's been up for criticism, is his, not just his silence on Farm Bill matters, but now he's literally absent without leave. This is somebody AWOL from his duty station for photo ops in Israel. It's not a big surprise. I mean, he got elected by doing a couple of good TV commercials and refusing to appear in person to debate the people running against him. So in that way, he understands the two-dimensional aspect of politics. But farming is three-dimensional and requires leadership. And Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, had an opinion column in the Cap Times this week that said, Wisconsin farmers need a champion more than ever, but so far Van Orden has failed to deliver anything other than empty slogans. Specifically, he has criticized Van Orden for not proposing any amendments to the farm bill designed to help small farms stay healthy in the face of corporate practices that have been depressing prices for farmers and increasing prices for consumers. Let me go back a step. The farm bill, what is that? It's something that's it's a major package that's renewed every 5 years and touches on all kinds of things from farm operations to market rules to school lunches and food assistance, environmental programs. There are provisions about rural economic development, exports of American food, research, food safety. It's a massive bill, and it's that way on purpose. It's designed to encourage bipartisanship and to encourage cooperation between rural and urban lawmakers rather than pitting them against each other. They put some of their best interests in this package, and then they have to work together to get this passed. But there are people in Congress who have no interest in working together. Some Republicans are calling for the removal of $50 billion to help farmers and ranchers take part in two popular, voluntary conservation projects. These are programs that teach and incorporate practices on working farmland to protect the water quality, the soil health, animal habitats, and make farmland more resilient to the extreme storms and droughts that have come more frequently due to a changing climate. Republicans are also proposing cuts for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, which not only prevents hunger in American children and lower-income families, but it serves a dual purpose as farm support because SNAP funds are used to purchase food with an emphasis on locally grown food. A public opinion poll has been done asking about shifting these billions of dollars away from conservation and climate programs. When voters in six leading agricultural states were asked about repurposing these funds for non-climate use, they opposed it by a 3-to-1 margin. Okay, well, what if you just talk to the Republican voters in a public opinion poll? They oppose it by a 2-to-1 margin. This is not smart politics to mess with a farm bill and to make it tougher to pass. Some of the extra money for conservation programs came there through President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. That's something where, again, more than 1,700 farm groups, companies, environmental advocates, economists, local elected officials, and trade groups, 1,700 of these entities support the Inflation Reduction Act and the investment it's making for farms and ranches and conservation. Megan Rowe of the progressive advocacy group Opportunity Wisconsin put it this way, Wisconsin farmers and producers need a new farm bill and stability to be successful, but Derek Van Orden doesn't seem interested in helping them. Passing a new farm bill, she says, that supports family farmers in Wisconsin is essential for supporting our economy and giving working families the opportunity to succeed. It is time for Derek Van Orden to start fighting for Wisconsin farm families. But as we noted, Van Orden's been overseas for several days, leaving Israel for a trip he described as fact-finding, and it made him the only Republican to miss Tuesday's vote that chose Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana as the new Speaker of the House. David, you're in from California, but David, I literally have 30 seconds. Can you get your point in on the farm bill real quick, David? Good morning.
Well, I'll do my best. I'm glad you brought it up. My daughter was getting me to watch videos about the Los Plateau. And when you hear this is a section in China that went became a desert, it went from the palaces of China to a desert in the short years. And when you look at America with these downpours, these torrential rains that are happening, we're losing massive amounts of topsoil.
We sure are. And David, it makes those conservation programs so important. I'm sorry to cut you up. I'm up against a break, and Hometown Health is coming up next.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Special Report.
We have an active shooter. We have multiple injuries.
There is a massive manhunt underway in Maine after police say someone shot and killed at least 16 people and wounded dozens of others at a bar and a bowling alley north of Portland. This man was inside Spare Time Recreation in Lewiston when the gunfire began.
I just booked it down the lane and I slid basically into where the pins are and climbed up in the machine and was on top of the machines for about 10 minutes until the cops got there.
Police say they're searching for a firearms instructor named Robert Card. Correspondent Elaine Quijano is near the scenes of the shootings.
Residents here in Lewiston and the entire county have been ordered to shelter in place. And as a precaution, multiple schools and businesses are also closed today. Residents have been asked to clear the streets as hundreds of police officers work around the clock to track down that person of interest.
Nearby Bates College also on lockdown. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State wildlife officials unanimously approved a new wolf management plan for Wisconsin on Wednesday. The new plan does not include specific population goals for the entire state. Instead, the plan recommends a population of around 1,000 animals, but allows for more flexibility in certain areas of the state. While conservation groups applauded the new plan, farmers and hunters worry that the plan will allow too many wolves to prey on livestock and deer in northern Wisconsin. There's a new member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Governor Evers is tapping longtime Eau Claire City employee Carrie Ripel. She served in the city clerk and human resources offices since 2011. Ripel says she'll be able to provide an expert's opinion in the role. She'll keep her job in Eau Claire while making regular trips to Madison. Her appointment is subject to state Senate approval. I'm Nate Wuggehout. This is Civic Media News.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers and thundershowers today. Our high right around 62 this afternoon. Scattered rain tonight, 45. We can get a quarter to a half inch of rain by the time it all winds down late tonight. Tomorrow, a few sprinkles in the morning, gradual clearing, becoming colder with temps in the 30s by afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
93.5 The Tap.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
The sun shines down on a South Dakota morning.
All right, this is Hometown Health, and we are going to be joined by Dr. Amy Kelly, who's joining us by phone here. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is with us as well. Dr. Kelly, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So nice to have you there from Sioux Falls. And Kristen, normally in Green Bay, is joining us from New York. And we have some serious Hometown Health things to discuss. But first, music. Which one of you two gave me the note that there is a song that exists called South Dakota Morning by the Bee Gees?
That'd be me.
That was you?
Yeah, absolutely. That was Kristen.
Dr. Kelly, were you aware of this song previously?
I was not, no.
You know
You're
what?
You're welcome.
Nobody was. Nobody. I looked all over Google last night to try to figure out what made the Bee Gees write a song about a South Dakota morning. Can't find it anywhere. I don't know how you did it, Kristen.
It's just one of those things, Pat, where you just go with it.
Oh, I'm going with it. It's a quite a lovely song, but I'm looking like no idea. I still don't know the story behind this on this 1973 album that they did. So, yes, go ahead, Amy or Kristen.
It's me, Kristen, and it's because we had such a slam dunk with Dr. Kelly this morning that I didn't have to put a lot of time and effort into preparing for the actual conversation. So I got sucked into the rabbit hole of figuring out the music. So. And that's how we ended up here.
There are other songs I've learned that mention South Dakota. And again, a few places as pretty at either end of South Dakota as the Badlands off to the west. And I love Sioux Falls down in the southeast corner there. And it's nice of Dr. Kelly to join us because we're going to talk about rural shortages of health care. They're getting worse. They're made worse by political interference. And Kristen, I'll just let you take it from there to start a conversation with Dr. Amy Kelly.
Well, our audience hears me say all the time that this 1849 criminal abortion ban here in Wisconsin is affecting our health care. And I'm shocked sometimes that I'll have a conversation with people who are really unfamiliar with the ban itself or the fallout that it causes. So I wanted to bring Dr. Kelly on this morning to talk about a little piece that she did with the Washington Post a couple weeks ago that really highlights some of the disparities that are being created in South Dakota, where they had restrictive abortion laws for many years, but now they have a ban that's even more strict than ours. And they have a special circumstance in that they don't have a residency training program. They have medical students, but they don't have a training program to keep OBGYN doctors in the state. So they have to send people out of state and hope that they'll come back. And what they're finding is many of these students are struggling with the idea of coming back. So this is a conversation that Dr. Kelly and I have had on more than one occasion. And Amy, I would love to hear it in your own words. What's happening in South Dakota right now?
Well, really, it's an acceleration of some of the things that have already been happening for a long time here. We have vast areas of our state that have no OBGYN providers. And so it is not unusual for people to travel hours for maternity care. And that situation is just getting worse. We are finding that it's really only in Sioux Falls that we are able to recruit candidates for practices. And even in Sioux Falls, it's become more difficult. The rest of the state is just losing providers. And it's an accelerated thing because if you have three providers in a community and one leaves, that makes the burden so much greater on the other two that they're also likely to leave. And then you never get anybody back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say,
Christine, it really builds on itself. And you used a great example of going from three to two. It's one thing for a doctor in any specialty to be on call every third night. One partner leaves and now it's every other night with always the fear that other partner is going to go. And then it's just you 24/7, you know, unless you can find a temporary physician. And this is a cycle, Dr. Kelly, that I'm sure repeats itself as frequently in South Dakota as it has in Wisconsin.
Oh, for sure. You know, and we have communities who not only are losing providers, but then they, you know, people step up like midwives, family practice doctors to deliver in that community. But unfortunately, you know, they don't always have the same skill set. And so our high risk patients end up having less and less places to go to deliver. And then we get busier and busier here at the tertiary care centers in Sioux Falls.
And you mentioned you work at the tertiary care center. So you are an OBGYN doctor in Sioux Falls who is also a clinical associate professor. You work with medical students. You help to train medical students as they're deciding what specialty they want to go into. What are you hearing from those medical students that you are working with?
You know, when it comes to reproductive care, a lot of them are talking about how, you know, they wanted to come back and be with their families here in South Dakota when they were done with training, but they just feel like they can't. And that's true partly because of the abortion ban. They don't feel like it would be safe for them to practice here. And it's also true because, you know, along with the abortion ban, we've had a lot of issues about banning gender affirming care, which a lot of these students care a lot about, and they want to participate in that as well. And they just can't have the practice they want to have here.
I've said before, Dr. Kelly, and I'm not meaning to doom and gloom this, but I think these are very real points to make, that when we're talking about these deserts of healthcare, and especially of obstetrical care, it's one thing to have the charming news story about, you know, the woman and her partner had to drive 2 hours and they couldn't quite make it. And so this firefighter delivered this baby on the side of the road, and people go, oh, is that ever quaint? It's not quaint.
It's not.
There have been bad outcomes, and the bad outcomes are going to increase. Yes,
they are. They are. I mean, already this year, we had someone who wasn't actually even that far away. She's only about an hour and a half away. Deliver her twins in a facility that doesn't do deliveries. And she was too far into labor to be transferred. And there was a doctor and an anesthesiologist from a neighboring community that went there to her, to a hospital they don't know, with privileges they don't have, and delivered these twins. And, you know, they all did okay, but that could have easily been a tragedy where we lost the mom and maybe even the babies. And it was only really the bravery and willingness of these two providers to drive a half an hour to this woman that enabled us to have a good outcome. And that's somebody who's an hour and a half away. We have people who come all the way from the other side of the state, from winter, you know, 3+ hours away, and winter is coming. And winter complicates all of that.
Yeah, I recall in North Dakota reviewing the maternal mortality committee report from just a couple of years ago, and there were two women who died in their cars on the way to the hospital with pregnancy complications because it was winter and they couldn't get there.
When people hear, they hear maternal mortality. Yes, women still die in childbirth in the United States, and at rates that are embarrassing compared to other countries, Kristen.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking. We have the most expensive healthcare in the world and the worst outcomes compared to other peer countries. And a lot of that is because we're not able to train our students and train our newer doctors appropriately because of things like these abortion bans and this inability to see what gender affirming care looks like. What are you hearing from your students about the comprehensive nature of their training as they're preparing to become the doctors of the future?
Yeah, I think a lot of medical students are also really concerned about getting comprehensive education. You know, a lot of abortion bans are happening in states with residency programs. And the residency programs in states that do not have abortion bans, how can they adequately help our students get good training. You know, I mean, I think that that's overwhelming to think about all of the states with abortion bans sending medical students and residents to places that don't have them. It's just a logistical nightmare. And there's just not enough people and enough states to get the, you know, get the training that these medical students need and desire.
Dr. Kelly, it's not even just not being able to learn about something and not be able to practice something. We have occasions in states that doctors and medical students are fearful of even talking about certain subjects for fear
absolutely.
Of legal trouble, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that legitimately so. I have patients who are scared to talk to me about abortion if they are interested in terminating a pregnancy. They're worried that even talking about it will land them in jail. And our abortion ban wording is so vague that I can't promise them that that isn't a thing. I don't think it's a thing. But I can't make that promise to them because the ban is so vague. And so, you know, of course, medical students starting their career, the last thing they want to do is get into legal trouble. I mean, that could just completely devastate their career and veer them totally off the path they want to take. It's one thing to take a risk as a established physician. It's another to take a risk when you might have, you know, $100,000, $200,000 in debt trying to go to medical school and then not become a doctor. I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely, it is. And nobody wants to get in trouble for doing what we know is the right thing for our patients.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it in South Dakota. We're seeing it in Arkansas, in Texas, certainly in Wisconsin, that chilling effect for doctors and patients. And now even medical students who are learning how to communicate and learning how to ask these questions, but they're afraid to breach these common topics.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our patients have had abortions for various reasons. And I mean, even taking a history, it's super common for me to talk to somebody about the fact like they had an abortion when they were younger, or, you know, talking about pregnancy complications and why a pregnancy ended. I mean, that's like just taking a history for a patient. It's just such a basic thing we do every day.
It is. It's absolutely chilling, the kind of environment that we are facing now. Is there any final point that you wanted to leave listeners with when thinking about, you know, rural healthcare and how they can be more supportive of it?
I think that, you know, the big thing that I would like people to understand is that abortion bans don't just affect abortion care. They affect all women's healthcare, and they have a ripple effect among physicians and hospitals and communities.
We appreciate that very much. Dr. Amy Kelly is an obstetrician gynecologist in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, joining us for Hometown Health today. Dr. Kelly, great to meet you. We found a mutual friend out there. Be sure you say hello, and we'll look forward to chatting again soon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Have a great morning.
Our you pleasure. Too, Amy.
Thank you so much. Kristen, again, these points have been made plenty of times, but they are, again, there is a direct link between the quality of healthcare and the ballot box. Like it or not, there is a direct link.
Yes, there certainly is. And we know that in states with abortion bans like South Dakota, Wisconsin, and so many others, that moms die at a rate 3 times higher than in states without these bans. And we know babies die 30% more often than in states without these bans. So these bans are killing us, and we can change this.
Now, if you have other questions related to OBGYN care and women's health, Dr. Lyerly, are you doing public cervix announcement today while you're a tourist in New York City?
We are. We're doing public cervix announcement. I don't know what Jane wants to talk about, but I'm kind of thinking we need to talk about blood pressure, what it means, how you can optimize your blood pressure control, all of those fun things. And we want callers to call in and ask lots of questions.
Yes, that's your chance to call in, not while I'm dominating the whole conversation, but on As Goes Wisconsin, 1105, yes?
Yes.
Okay. 11:05 is when you'll catch Dr. Lyerly's public cervix announcement. I think we'll be talking to Luke Mathers coming up right after this break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
It's fun to watch Dr. Lyerly and Luke jamming out, especially when the host doesn't know because he forgot to fill that part of his program. So he's got to turn to his producer and say, Sam, what'd you give us for a tune today?
You don't know that one off the riff? Oh, come on,
no,
Matt.
No,
that's AC/DC.
That's a long way to the top. If you want to rock and roll.
I was never going to get that.
Pat rolls, but he doesn't really rock.
What were we talking about earlier? Earlier on, we were talking about Marilyn McCoo. We were talking about Dionne Warwick. We were talking about the Spinners. So AC/DC, not in that oeuvre, if you will. So
maybe a little Hall & Oates.
Yes. Yeah. Now, let's get some of these crossover things. Let's get Hall & Oates doing an AC/DC song. Let's get AC/DC doing Sarah Smile, you know, or something like that. We need more of that.
Yeah, which I'm trying to picture how that goes.
I don't know if they're taking requests this late either of those careers.
You know what? They should. There is the Jimmy Fallon was hosting some kind of a music show in prime time where they would have people, you know, like do crossover, like they would do rap songs in a country style. And it's hilarious. It's so good. And I would love to see more of that. But
it's entertaining, that's for sure. I don't know if all of the original artists, though. Those are all people singing karaoke or other artists doing covers of other artists' songs in those different styles. I don't know if the original artists want to necessarily do all those covers, Pat.
I think they should. I think they should expand their horizons. That's what I'd like to see.
I love the crossovers because, you know, country artists are often influenced by artists from other genres, and rock artists are often influenced by artists of other genres. So it's really neat to see when they dig into what they grew up with and how they express it in their own musical creativity.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So Luke comes on Thursdays to help us promote things all across the civic media radio network. We've had a shuffling of the shows, a shuffling of the clock. We've got still some of the fine weekend shows, including the Cripes cast. We haven't talked about Charlie Behrens and the Cripes cast for a while here, have we?
I don't think so. He's been cranking it out, though. The content that Charlie's been having. Still waiting to hear about this week's guest, but some excellent editions of the Cripes cast in recent weeks. So you'll want to tune in on Civic Media noon Saturday and Sunday. You can listen to the first broadcasting of this week's edition of the Cripes cast. You can also find Charlie's podcast wherever you find your podcasts by searching the Cripes cast. But always an excellent conversation. Charlie does the show for and from the Midwest, and so it's always an excellent time. You're going to want to tune in Civic Media noon Saturday and Sunday.
So with the switch in schedules, I should note that for most folks, Earl Ingram is coming up next across much of the network. There will be some local shows as well. Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. James and the Gang in Wisconsin Rapids. Stephanie Miller is playing in Madison. It's an interesting mix that we have of some of the local shows are on at 8 a.m. Some of them are at 6 a.m. But wherever you are for those first few hours of the day, you'll all get together later on for As Goes Wisconsin and Todd Alba, who's now noon to two. At least we think so. How's Todd doing down there? We had a rough time connecting yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah. I missed that. But
I don't know how much of it was Spectrum and how much of it was operator error and how much of it was he tried both a laptop and a phone. But
Todd. Technology is not necessarily Todd's biggest fan, and I don't think Todd's the biggest fan of technology either. So disheartening to hear that there were some problems there.
No, it's okay.
Todd likes to joke now that he's trying to let everybody know that he does not hate me and he's not trying to chase me off the air because when Dueling Tangents wrapped up, the Todd Halba show was taking the place on the broadcast clock of Dueling Tangents.
That's right.
And now that Town Call is wrapped up, Todd has moved to the Town Call time. And so Todd is trying to say, I don't hate Luke.
He's your personal wrecking ball. I mean, I would not be surprised if he bounced you out of that studio right now and took up the rest of this segment.
No.
What's he got against you? It wouldn't happen.
But that's the ongoing joke here with Todd and I the last couple weeks. He goes, Luke, I swear it's not my fault. And I was like, Todd, I get it. You just don't want to hear me. No, I'm just kidding. He's not coming right now.
It would have been great if he'd come into frame. No. What really would have been funny if he'd come in Kristen's frame right now, like, hey, I'm in New York too.
Yeah, join us next Thursday for Todd Alba instead of Luke Mathers on Thursday morning.
There we go. That's who I got to see if he's able to fill in my absence. I'm not taking any more scheduled absence for a little while, so don't worry.
Well, no, after that month-long, you know, honeymoon.
3 weeks. You don't have to round up like that. It was only 3 weeks.
I might have rounded up just a little bit. No, I am very, very, very pro honeymoon. I'm always, it's when people say, oh, we're not going to take one, we'll take it later. Like, no, take it now. Yeah. You know, my older brother,
he joked with me last week. He goes, first time in my life I was ever jealous of my little brother because he saw the photos and then was hearing the stories of what we were doing in Europe for those weeks. And he was like, first time ever. And I was like, thanks, Clark. Good to know that you've never been envious or jealous or anything like that up until now. So
you've never given him a reason, you know? Now you've got it.
That it was what it was. So he was giving me a hard time last week about it, but I was like, hey man, because he had a destination wedding. So the joke was his honeymoon was kind of the whole process, and they never got to do a honeymoon because they did the destination wedding. And
it's never too late to do a honeymoon, as Pat demonstrates to us repeatedly every year.
Well. Yeah,
he's feeling a little called out now. He's like, "Oh, you're right."
I'm a very fortunate fellow. Yes, let me put it that way. Especially more so when your daughters leave the state and you've got to go, you know, out to the mountains to visit one, and you know, out east to visit the other. You know, there's worse things to have in life. I will grant you that. For folks who may not have heard this week with the show shift, Matt Flynn, who previously occupied this early morning chair, is now on for 2 hours every day from 2 to 4 on weekdays across the network. And then the Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6. Maggie Dawn's still 6 to 7, right, Luke?
Absolutely. Yep. 6 to 7, okay. Monday through Friday. And the biggest news probably of today, Pat, and I almost forgot, so I'm kicking myself, but glad I remembered before the end of the segment. Bucks in 6, baby. Milwaukee Bucks tip off their season tonight.
Yes.
And
you can listen
to the Milwaukee Bucks on 6 civic media stations across the network. So if you're not watching them, you can be listening to the Bucks in Racine, in Richland Center, in Amory. And now I'm kicking myself because I don't know all of the 6 off the top of my head. Yeah, Oshkosh, I'm going to have them all memorized soon.
Oh,
but
so it's
six different Bucks, civic media markets.
So it's Bucks on 6.
Bucks on 6, and hopefully always in 6.
See what I did there? All right. Thank you, Mr. Mathers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lyerly. Have a wonderful time out there. Travel safe.
Thank you. It's a blast.
Yep. And thanks to all of you for being here as well. Tomorrow, Jimmy Costco will help us break down week two of the upcoming state high school football playoffs. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil will be here as well, as will our Friday regular Mark Jacob. Again, you can follow us, Up North News WI, all across your social medias. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to pay for upkeep at American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee for an extra 20 years took another step Wednesday. A state Senate committee took testimony on a bill that spends $546 million in public money. The deal passed the Assembly last week. Republican Dewey Strobel chairs the committee. He hopes to have enough votes to pass it in time for the Senate to pass it in November. Another school in the Universities of Wisconsin system is cutting jobs, the UW-Platteville.